This morning we looked at nine I am statements, or I will, I'm sorry. And so this is basically the premise is two different books from Tom Rainier. Tom Rainier is a Lifeway / Southern Baptist supporter. He's at one time, I think he was leading Lifeway and the such. But more than any of that, connected to any denomination, Tom loves the Lord's church. And he has dedicated his writing to helping churches grow and the such. And so, again, a few of our Sunday school classes have done this particular book. It's an extremely good book. I am a church member. And then the follow-up was what we used as the premise of our message this morning. I will. I will. Book had, you know, I could, I may, you know, and such, and all that scratched out, and then it got to I will. And so, he says in that book that this is built on the premise of once you know who you are in Christ and what you should be doing on the I am side, then you need to make some decisions. I will do this for the church. And we certainly want you to avail yourself to that. I will most likely, per the leadership of the Spirit, be diving in deeper on those I will statements throughout the next few weeks. With that said, there are some I will statements in this as well. Hopefully it won't be confusing to you. It should make total sense because the things that we're going to talk about tonight are building blocks for the things that we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks. I want you to listen. We started today's message this morning with a tale of a joyous church member and how she went from a joyous church member to a not-so-joyous church member, and it was because the church that she was a part of, after being there for 12 years, she bought into the culture, and the culture of that church was, this is about us. It was an inward focus. So much so that after 20 years, and of course, obviously 8 of those previous to her showing up, they had had 8 pastors. It's unfortunate, but a true story, that too many times the itinerant or the tenure of a pastor at any Baptist church is 2 years or less. That's not enough time to get to know the church. It's not enough time to put down roots and the such. You know, we don't know what that... Some of you would long for that, maybe. Get rid of this guy and let's get some fresh blood, whatever the case may be. With that said, I do believe that a long tenure is better. Can a preacher outstay his welcome? You bet. But watch this. That's not the church's decision or the pastor's decision. That's the Lord's decision. Just as whether or not you should go to another church, that's the Lord's decision. I want to make sure that you understand tonight that I asked God to lead me to the messages today with no one person here in mind, or no one person this morning in mind. It is time that we look at this. I told you a couple months ago when we first came back, if we want to change some things, now's the time to do it. There's not a person in this building that has not went through unbelievable change, and so we all should be good with it. Yeah, and amens rang throughout the building. All right, so here's a tale of two church members. Michael and Liam began meeting for Monday morning breakfast at 6 o'clock over 5 months ago. They originally thought it would be a one-time event. They met in a couple's Bible study group in their church for many different reasons. They hit it off and were becoming good friends. When Michael originally invited Liam to meet him for breakfast on a Monday morning several months ago, Liam readily agreed. The two men enjoyed their time together so much that the one-time event became a weekly event. It was now rare for the two friends not to meet on Monday morning. Early in their friendship, the conversations focused on sports, family, and politics. They had much in common. Michael was 41. Liam was 39. They each had 3 kids. They were both college football fanatics. Each of their teams was in the same football conference, but they were pretty fierce rivals as well. The guys thoroughly enjoyed trash-talking the other's team in a friendly spirit. But on this particular Monday morning, the conversation turned serious. Michael and his wife had noticed some changes in the demeanor of Liam in their Bible study group. He no longer seemed as interested in studying and discussing the Bible as he did talking about their church. And his comments were often critical about the congregation where the two families both had their memberships. Still, Michael was caught off guard on that particular morning, Monday morning. Liam loved the poached eggs in the little restaurant. It was his regular order, but on this Monday morning, he had not touched them. He was barely sipping his coffee. Liam didn't take long to get to the point. "Michael," he began, "Lana and I have decided to leave the church." The pause seemed to last minutes. Neither of the men seemed to know who should speak next. Michael took the initiative and spoke softly and deliberately. "You want to tell me about it?" Michael inquired. He honestly didn't know if Liam wanted to say any more about it. His friends seemed resolute. Nevertheless, Liam began to explain his feelings and decision. "Lana and I went to the church to learn deep truths about the Bible," Liam offered. "But Pastor Robert is just not feeding us. We're not getting anything out of his messages. Sitting in the service on Sunday morning is just a waste of our time." And I said this morning, if any of you are feeling this way, we need to set an appointment. Michael didn't respond. He could tell Liam had more to say. "There are several great people in the church," Liam continued. "You and Karen are the best, and there are a few more like you." He paused, and his facial expression became even more serious. "But honestly, Michael, our church is full of hypocrites. Did you hear Jim at the kids' basketball game? He embarrassed me the way he was screaming at the refs. What kind of testimony is that for a Christian? And of course, everyone knows about Neil. He was supposedly this pillar of the church, and we find out he's been cheating on his wife for over a year. What kind of church is this with these kind of people?" Liam was angry but controlled as he continued to vent. "Look, Pastor Robert acts like he cares for us, but I'm not so sure he does. I told him that Lana's dad was in the hospital for hernia surgery, and he never visited him. Michael knew that Lana's father was not a church member, and he lived 50 miles away. He also knew that Pastor Robert called him and had prayer with him," Liam, "but he also knew that any rebuttal would not be appreciated at the moment." Michael held his tongue. Now it seemed that Liam's mild rant was winding down. Liam seemed exhausted, ready to bring the conversation to a close. He did, however, offer a few pointed comments and two insightful questions. "Michael," Liam began softly, "I really like you and Karen and your kids. All of you are a class act." He paused briefly. "But you seem enthused about the church. You keep serving and contributing. Don't take me wrong, but I wonder at times if you are blind to all the problems in the church." Then Liam offered a closing that really spoke more than he realized. "We are really two different types of church members," he stated. "Why is that? Why do we have such different perspectives?" And so at this point, Mr. Tom comes in and he says this, the difference. "Based on our research of 557 churches from 2004 to 2010, 9 out of 10 churches in America are declining or growing at a pace that is slower than that of their communities. Simply stated, churches are losing ground in their own backyards." We can certainly relate to that. Another way of looking at it is generationally. About 2/3 of the builder generation, those born before 1946, are Christians, but only 15% of the millennials are Christians. The millennials are the largest generation in America's history, with almost 80 million members. They were born between 1980 and 2000, and we have all but lost that generation. We can blame it on the secular culture, and we often do. We can blame it on the godless politics of our nation. We do that as well. We can even blame it on the churches, the hypocritical members, and the uncaring pastors. Lots of Christians are doing that. But I am proposing that we who are church members need to look in the mirror. I'm suggesting that congregations across America are weak because many of us church members have lost the biblical understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. We join our churches expecting others to serve us, to feed us, and to care for us. We don't like the hypocrites in the church, but we fail to see our own hypocrisies. God did not give us local churches to become country clubs where membership means we have privilege and perks. He placed us in churches to serve, to care for others, to pray for leaders, to learn, to teach, to give, and in some cases to die for the sake of the gospel. Many churches are weak because we have members who have turned the meaning of membership upside down. It's time to get it right. It's time to become a church member as God intended. It's time to give instead of being entitled. Again, that's a very good read. I would encourage you to do that. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 13. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You want to know who you are? You are blessed with all spiritual blessings. There is nothing that you need. You have everything that you need. You just need to possess it. The Holy Spirit, the God of creation, lives inside of you. According as He hath chosen us, you've been chosen. He gave you the once over, and He still chose you. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He moved heaven and earth for you to have a relationship with Him. He adopted you. That's so much more than you being born into the kingdom of God, and you are also born into the kingdom of God. But watch this. Adoption means He can't say no to you. You're His. He's yours, like it or not, according to the good pleasure of His will. It excited Him to plan it this way, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Church, every one of us wants to be accepted. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter who accepts you on this planet. You are accepted by the Creator of the planet. And remember, He who gets the Son gets it all. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Father, we ask You to add Your blessings to the reading and preaching of Your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. So who are you? These are the I am statements in church. It wasn't until I listened to Adrian Rogers years and years ago on a VHS tape preaching to the Southern Baptist Convention on this very passage that I truly, completely, totally understood who I am in Christ. I'm going to go through the list very quickly. This is all familiar territory with us as a church and a pastor. I am a child of God. I am. You are too, if you know Jesus Christ. Let's make sure that we're talking about the same thing. Church, I'm not talking about someone that's a member of a church. I'm not talking about someone that's been baptized. I'm not talking about someone that has family that are saved. I'm talking about, do you know, God forbid, if you were to die tonight, you'd go straight to heaven? There's only one way for you to know that for sure. Some point in time in your life, you repented of your sins. You accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ on the cross, and you asked Him to forgive you. That's it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Church, we exist as a church for that purpose, to make sure that men, women, boys, and girls know how to go to heaven. But as a result of you making Romans 10:9 absolutely personal, you repenting of your sins, you accepting Jesus' forgiveness for your sins, you asking Him to come into your heart, be your Savior, you are a child of God. As a result, you have possession, meaning the Holy Spirit is possessed, has possessed you. You have God living inside of you. You have God in your DNA. You have an inheritance. You're going to heaven. You have authority. You can change things by the blood of Christ in your life because God has given you the authority to absolutely rule your own life. You don't do that from the standpoint of I'm making the decisions. You do that by saying I'm giving the reins to you. But God has given you the authority to say that. Because, church, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You had no hope, nothing inside of you to commend you to God. But when you accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, He unlocked, He canceled, He broke the power of canceled sin. And He gives you the authority over your own life to give Him the authority. And now you're living. Now you're living. That's who you are. You have health. Church, we ought to be the healthiest people on this planet. And no, I'm not talking about your ability to run a mile, even though we certainly should be healthy in a body as well. But I'm saying mentally, spiritually, emotionally, we ought to be mature. We ought to be healthy. Image. You bear the image of Christ. Position. God does not see you seated where you're at right now. God sees you seated in Christ in the heavenlies. You're finished. You made it. You made it, church, and you're not even dead yet. And that's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're gifted. We talked about that this morning. Every one of you have one of those seven motivational gifts. You're gifted. You're commissioned. You got a job to do. And no, it's not the job you're going to show up for tomorrow. Even though we've tried to establish that, God is in that as well. Your physical, secular job is important to God. But you have a spiritual job to do as well, to take the gospel to your world. So, church members are just that. You're members of a body. Members are responsible to be, that's the I am, this is who I am, I'm a child of God, to be and to do. This is what I am to do. I will be a functioning church member. So this is point number one. Comes right out of the book. I will be a functioning church member. Now, he opens up in that first chapter in that book about the difference between a country club member and a body member. And it's extremely important that we know the difference. He tells the story about his little town getting a country club. And because God had blessed his family as a middle class family, they were able to buy a membership in this little country club in this little town. And he said, at 10 years old, I was somebody because I could go to a pool every day in the summer if I wanted to. And by the pool, curbside, if you will, I could get a burger. And he said, I had all these things that were available to me, perks and privileges, because I'm a club member. Church, listen to me. You must not see church membership as a club membership. It's two different analogies. Please hear me. If you're blessed financially to be a member of a country club and God has led you to do that, bless you. May your tribe increase. No problem with that. Just never see the church as a country club. The church is a body. A country club can call up the golf professional and say, sorry, bud, we don't need your services anymore. And he's going to mope around for a few days, but guess what? He's got all of his 10 fingers, all of his 10 toes. He just lost a job. That's the difference. A body, this guy here decides, I'm going to so-and-so church. You see what I'm saying? And I'm just being facetious, okay? Don't nobody get upset with me. But it's a completely different analogy. We're members of a body. And if and when you join a church, you are members of that body. Now, the Holy Spirit calls you out on occasion, and that's not this, okay? Because when God does that, guess what? He brings somebody else in. But God wants every one of us to see ourselves as a member, and we need our members to function as God wants us to function, as a body. A club member has perks. A body member has functions. A club member pays dues to get the amenities. A body member pays tithes out of gratefulness of being placed in the body. A club member seeks to be served. A body member is an integral part of the health of the body. A body member seeks to serve the body. So, I will be a functioning church member. We all have a responsibility to the health and growth of this church. Every one of us. I'll never forget it. I was at a meeting. And I'm convinced that the main reason I was at that meeting to hear what I'm fixing to tell you. This pastor said, "Brother Ben, the main job of the pastor is to effectively communicate to the church that their main job is the health and the growth of the church." Most churches see the pastor, that's his job. The growth and the health of the church. And church, you can have some additions that way. But when the membership of the church starts functioning in the body and striving to win their world to Christ, now we've got multiplication. And that's what God has called us to. I will be a functioning church member. Point number two, I will be a unifying church member. And can I tell you, I could preach 3 weeks on this. But you're going to get about 3 minutes of it. I will be a peacemaker. If I'm not a part of the problem or the solution, I will remove myself from that conversation. I will not speak negatively about someone who is not present. If I am offended, I will go to that person before I go to anyone else. If I can forgive them of the offense without speaking to them about it, I will do that for the sake of unity. I will forgive them as Christ forgave me without being asked and without them deserving it. Church, we will pretty much shut the back door if we will obey that right there. Brother Ben, sometimes the back door is as open as the front door. You're right. But one of the reasons is because we, as functioning church members, do not take care of offenses the way the Bible tells us to. When someone upsets you, if you cannot forgive it right then, right there, without them present, you've got to go to them before you go to anyone else. I will be a unifying church member. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. That's point number three. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. I've tried to be very transparent and faithful to you to tell you how I royally messed up in this area years ago. Several of our youth, well, they're not youth anymore, but they were in the youth group that I led here. They could tell you the horror stories, if you will, about some very poor decisions that I made on preferences. I hurt some people. I hope and pray they've forgiven me. If not, I'm begging them to, type thing. But I made some decisions as a youth leader and a youth pastor built on preferences. And the Holy Spirit grew me out of that. And it was God used Jerry Jolly to help me on that. We had a particular situation in the same area of these preferences. And I went to him because I was still committed to my preferences. And he looked at me and said, "Brother Ben, I'm not really even going to argue that with you. I'm just telling you, if they're coming to church, I want them to keep coming to church. And I don't want your preferences to run them off." I needed to hear that. And guess what? Seeing a church grow from 390 to 600, I changed some of my preferences. I really did. And when I came here, I said, "Lord, help me not to make it about my preferences." Watch this, church. I am to a point now that if God calls me to it, I'm convinced I can worship with Gregorian chant. If you don't know what Gregorian chant is, YouTube it. I have successfully worshiped with Lecrae. Yeah. we just made a turn from Gregorian chant to Lecrae, okay? And Lecrae involves a lot of this, okay? And that hurts. It really hurts. I'm disoriented. I may fall. But the point is that God has shown me that if the lyrics are holy, why am I shooting at it? Now, please hear me. If we as a church can meet you where you're at with your preferences, we're going to do that. And amens rang throughout the building. That's why we went to two services. The first and foremost reason was to continue to reach the people that God was sending us. But we designated those two services with different music styles because we know that we have preferences. But I lovingly, how many years ago, in 2008, told you it's not about your preferences. Watch this. It's about the condition of your heart. And church, if you come to God and say, I'll worship you if you've got a heart problem, it should just be, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you. Amen. So here we go. I will seek to have the mind of Christ in Philippians chapter 2. I will seek to esteem others more important than myself. Point number, I think this is 4. I will pray for my church leaders. Please. Please. You're tempted. You're led by this world and the devil in your flesh to believe that your pastor is on a different plane than you. There could not be anything further from the truth. I struggle every day. I struggle with horrible thoughts. I struggle with discouragement. I struggle with what I see as betrayal at times. I struggle with hatred. Church, if you don't pray for me, I'm not going to make it. If you don't pray for Brother Brad, he's not going to make it. And we feel the same about you. Because you see, and I'm not, please hear me, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but Brother Brad and I, we know the flesh that we live in, and we know the wickedness that we struggle with daily, and we know you're struggling with it too. And so we absolutely assault the throne of heaven on your behalf. Church, there's not a text that comes through that says, Brother Ben, would you pray for that? That I do not stop and I beg God for whatever it is that you've asked me to pray for. I need you to do the same. My wife needs you to pray for her husband and for her. She's a lot better than me, but she still ain't perfect. Anybody that knows her knows that she got the raw end of the deal with me. But we're all human. And so I'm begging you, pray for your church leaders. I will practice the golden rule in striving to seek and meet others' needs as I would have them to meet mine. Therefore, I will pray for my leaders as I would have them pray for me. Next to last, I will lead my family to be healthy church members. This is so important. You know, honestly, church, we're just preaching the covenant. We're just pretty much almost going line by line. And there's a line in there that says, I will, as a church member, a covenant to religiously educate my children. Folks, I do not send my kids to public school to learn anything about God. I'm going to teach them that. And I'm going to teach them that anything they tell you about God, check it with the Bible. And anything they tell you about the origins of this planet, check it with the Bible. And let God be God. I've made some people mad. I've encouraged these young people, not in a hateful, disrespectful manner on any level, but question what you hear from this pulpit, much less from the lectern at school. Check it with God's Word. And trust God's word over anyone and everyone. And it's just the truth. I will lead my family to be healthy church members. One pastor, I heard this just this week. I had lunch with Josh Wright, and he told me on his ordination council, this very wonderful elderly pastor told him, Josh, I've heard enough. I know where you stand. I know that we agree, but this is what I want to know. Do you have church every day at home? He just kind of ducked his head and he said, I try, but no, we do not. And he said, well, I knew the answer before you told me because you're human. But here's what I'm begging you to do. Every time you quit, start again. Don't you love that sermon from John Smith? Life is a series of new beginnings. Struggling church, start again. Failed, start again. If you have church every day at home, you will enjoy church at church even more. I will teach my wife and the children the same principles for them to live out their life in their particular church. Amen. Lastly, I will treasure church membership as a gift. I want you to think about this. I recognize that to be a functioning member of the body of Christ required Christ to lose his health and his body to death, so that I could be grafted in. Now, y'all know that all things gardeny, I gravitate that way. And so there's this new practice of taking a tree and cutting the bark away from it, putting moss around it and a growth hormone, and you can literally start another tree out of that tree by doing it. And then you graft that into the next tree. But all of this has to be done by killing, if you will, that portion of the tree. Jesus Christ died so that you and I could be grafted in to the family of God. That should make us grateful. It should make us absolutely grateful. I know to some level I'm preaching to the choir. I say that a lot these days. You know why? Because I want you to know that I know you guys are on board. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. But I believe that we have an opportunity during this life of change to really grow. We may not even see it right here because people need to stay home when they've been exposed. People do not need to be exposed that have. So we may not see, quote unquote, the growth right here and now. But if you and I are doing these things that we talked about tonight, this church is going to grow. She is. And we're already seeing it. Anybody noticed the family that sit over here in second service? She's from the Caribbean. And she stands during worship. Amen. That's not meant to be any pressure to you. I'm just thankful she feels free enough to do that. That's tremendous. And she's not expecting you guys to stand. That's between you and God. She's just getting her son. She's worshiping. And she's loving it. And watch this. We probably don't agree on everything that that book says, but we do agree on this. She knows God. And God knows her. And she loves this church. She does. In fact, she told me today, we need to sit down and talk some more. Dawn and I went 2 weeks ago, and they fed us a wonderful meal, and we had an amazing conversation about a little bit of everything. It's good stuff. They were a part of a church of 12. And they're ready to grow. They're ready to grow. And I could tell you about family after family after family that God is bringing here and the such. But watch this. Church, we've got to beg God to help us to do something that very few churches do, and that is to put an absolute emphasis on new people and keep the emphasis on the people that are already here, because we need all of you. Amen? We need all of you. So we don't want to ignore the people that are already here to get the new people. We don't want to ignore the new people in the name of, we got to take care of those that are already here. We want to do both of it. And watch this, church. I believe God is big enough that we can. Have we had some losses and failures? Oh, my goodness. And every one of them hurts. We pray for them. We pray for healing. We pray for God to lead them where God wants them. But we can't look back, in my humble opinion. We've got to move forward for the sake of the gospel. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? We're going to have a brief invitation, and then we're going to have our brief business meeting. This is an invitation. We're inviting you, if you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your Savior, we're inviting you to come forward and make sure of your eternal home. Maybe you just want to make this an old-fashioned altar to pray for some of these things. Whatever the case may be, will you come?